Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Our Everything. Our Everything. As you can see in that little photo below the title, what do those things look like to you? Okay, the fuzzy white ones.
Fuzzy white ones, UFOs.
No, well, okay. Each one of those are a galaxy. Okay, and so how many of you know how fast the speed of light travels? 186,000 miles per second. Okay, so these galaxies are light years, millions of light years away. And I'm not going to ask you to do the math on that, because it's like forever and a day just to get from one end to the other. From here, look at this. From here to there, it'll take about and the speed that we travel, from here to there will take a million years. Just from here to there. So I need you to look how vast the universe is. And God made it. God created it. And out of all that, we're just a microcosm, a speck, a planet inside of one of these galaxies. Now, I don't know which one's the Milky Way, but our galaxy is called the Milky Way. And we're in there. Our little planet, what do you call it? The planets when they're all clumped together, they're called, I'm forgetting my science. It starts with Venus and Mercury. No, Mercury, Venus, then Earth, then Mars, then Jupiter,
Saturn.
Then Saturn, then Neptune, Uranus, and then Pluto. So that's our satellite system, right? Okay, so we're just a speck inside of the Milky Way, and the Milky Way has many of them in just the Milky Way. And let's just say that's the Milky Way. Look how many galaxies there are. And so I'm trying to get your mind wrapped around how big God is. How big God is. God created all that. And yet, this is the second heaven. The Bible talks about that this is the second heaven. The first heaven is underneath our atmosphere, the air that we breathe around our world. Then when we get past the atmosphere, now we go into the second heaven. Well, guess what? God lives in the third heaven beyond this. And so this is why we need to come to an understanding that if Jesus, who created this whole entire life for us, he should be your everything. You want to turn that speaker slightly that way? Maybe I think that's what's... Okay, thank you. Thank you. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 16. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 13 through 16. And here we go. And the Bible reads, "And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And so my question to us, who is Jesus to you? Who is he to you? Is he just a name in the Bible? Is he just the name that you got baptized in? Is he more than that? Look at verse 16 here. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. This is a revelation that came to Peter, not from the earth, but from above. What took place in your life, my life, was supernatural. It was from above, not from this earth. When we received the Lord Jesus Christ, he came from above. The Spirit came from above and rested on us. And you haven't been the same since, have you? Come on. God has transformed you. So let's look at this right up here. Jesus is not only the most important person who ever lived, but he's also the most controversial. You ever brought up the name Jesus amongst maybe other family members or friends at work, acquaintances, and you know they're not saved? They either have an ear to hear or they don't want nothing to hear about it. They'll find a way to kind of like, you know, can you change the subject? And so throughout history, saints of God, people have either hated him, ignored him, or loved him. And some even died for his sake. But we understand that 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked out of a carpenter shop to begin his ministry. Wow. And since then, an increasing number of people have followed him over the past 2,000 years. So who is this man called Jesus? Jesus asked the same question to his disciples. Look at it in Matthew right up here. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? He was trying to get them to understand that he came from heaven down to this earth. You see, a lot of them said, no, no, wait a minute. You're the son of the carpenter. We know who Joseph is. See, they were looking at it in the natural. But God was trying to say, wait a minute, hold on. I'm supernatural. And I've come to do a work in your life. The answers varied from John the Baptist to the Old Testament prophets. But let's look what he said again in verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so today, saints, Christians still believe this. We celebrate his birth on Christmas, which many of us have already decorated our homes. We're preparing for the day. We're having a Christmas lunch right after here. And so throughout our land and around the world, we're celebrating the life of Christ. And it's gone on for 2,000 years. And we worship and we bow down to him as our Lord. And we pray in his name. We live our lives now according to the word of God. And to us, he is the most awesome person. Is he awesome to you?
Yes.
Whoever walked on this earth. Why? Because he's God's only begotten son. Scripture refers to Jesus with many titles. Messiah, Son of God, Savior of the world, praise God, reigning Lord, ruling Judge, and returning King are just a few of them. Just a few of them. Therefore, saints of God, if Jesus is who Scripture says he is, we should respond to the following ways. Number one, believe in him, follow him, serve him, proclaim him, know him through God's word, and learn to love him. How many of you right now are learning to love him? Every day we're learning to love him in a deeper sense, in a way sometimes we couldn't comprehend it years ago. But now we're learning to love him. And when we do this, guess what it does? It'll impact your life. And every aspect of your life. And so we first have to determine and understand how he operates. What his character is. Listen, before some of you that got married to your spouse, you kind of wanted to know how they were, right? You just didn't meet them today and married them yet the next day. You kind of, yeah, 99.9%. They're not together no more. That's right. But we need to look. What are his attributes? You know what? Some people, seriously, I know it's none of us here, but some people think he's the genie in the bottle. You could just rub the lamp and, oh, God, Jesus, I need this. Jesus, I need that. Jesus, I need that. And then when he's calling you to, hey, will you spend some time with me? I want to get to know you. We find ways to, yeah, we're just too busy. So we have to understand this, that he is the creator. Jesus is the creator. Did you know that? He's just not only the Son. He created all things. You got to remember, he lived before the earth was even spoken into existence. He was there with his Father. I got scripture to back that up. Look at this in Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Look, now, here's where it talks about him. For by him, capital H, which is Jesus, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities, powers, all things were created through him. See, they were through him. He made them. And they were for him. So he chose to make this world for one purpose. Not just for him. But guess what? Turn to your neighbor and say, and for you.
And for you.
And for you. He thought about us. Jesus thought about us. Ask yourself this. Let's just say that you have the ability to create what he could do. Wouldn't you want to create people that you can fellowship with and enjoy? Yes. Or do you just want to be up there on your throne just looking at everything and have no relationship with nothing? It don't make no sense, though, would it? No. He created all these things for us. For us. And so we have to understand what character he is. What makes him who he is. And if you don't understand, you're going to think he's the genie in the bottle. That's it. And so number one, we have to understand he's omnipresent. As our Savior, Jesus lives within our hearts, and he is with us wherever we go. If you fly to China, he's there. That's right. If you go down to Tijuana for some tacos, he's there. Oh, come on, he's everywhere. He's on the highest mountain. He's in the deepest ocean in the Philippines. That's the deepest ocean in the world. He's there. Only those tiny little subs that are pressurized can go down there. He's omnipotent. Look at this. God the Son has all power to do whatever fits with his character and is in keeping with his Father's will. He has all power. Some of you that are going through right now, he has all power to fix it.
That's right.
You need healing? He can heal you.
Right.
You need a new job? He'll open up a door for you.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
You have family that are lost? Well, he can go and find them.
Come on.
And bring them back to the fold.
That's right.
And do a new thing in their life. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. We serve a God that's miraculous. He's the most incredible thing that ever happened to us. And then he's omniscient. Look at this. There are no secrets because our Lord knows all things with complete accuracy. Before we ever utter a prayer, he knows what we will say. That's right. And many of us, we bring our laundry list, don't we? Ooh. And that laundry list, sometimes it needs to go through the washer machine several times. Huh? There's some things in our laundry that bleach can't take out. Ooh. Ooh, but God can. Jesus, help us. Thank you, God. Look at this. He's merciful.
Yes, he,
we may freely call upon Christ to be merciful to us and need to never worry that he will mistreat us. Has God mistreated you? No. Even when you are the most spoiled, rotten brat that day. Because he only gives us one day at a time. So that day. And yet he's still merciful. He said, come on. Don't worry, I got you covered. You know why he has us covered? Because he made us. He knows who we are. He formed and fashioned us. And he knows that we live in a fallen body. He knows we'll never be perfect in this body. So there's grace in that. Not to say that we could take advantage of it. No. We learn to be obedient. But when we do mistakes, he's there as a merciful God that won't hold your feet to the fire. And look at this. He's eternal. He's eternal. Jesus was born of a woman, but this is not when he came into existence. He was always existed as eternal Son of God. He was always there. Let me ask you this question. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown into the fiery furnace, who was the fourth man?
Jesus.
And this is Old Testament. He was there. Thank you, God. And then we have to understand this, because only he could proclaim this. He's sinless. Because of this divine nature, Jesus was completely sinless. And us, we're completely sinful. Oh, come on. We can put on our Sunday best and say, praise the Lord. Go home and close the blinds and kick the dog. And say a few potty words. Help us, God. And then you got to remember, not only is he 100, when he was out here on earth, he wasn't just 100% God. He was also human. Although he never ceased being God, look at this. Jesus was also fully human without sin. And because he lived as a man, he understands and can help us in our weaknesses. See, this is the mind of God. Because I got to be like them to know what they're going through. Can I get amen?
Amen?
When you go to a doctor, he don't know what you're going through. That's why on his door it says, practitioner. He practicing on you. He just practicing. But God made us. He knows us. He knows every cell and fiber of your being. And so he knows how to take care of us when we need to be taken care of. And then we must understand his deity. Jesus was also wholly divine with all the attributes and perfections of deity, meaning God, the true and living one. You know, there's no other God. There's little gods, but all of them are going to be cast into the lake of fire.
That's right.
Soon and very soon. How many can't wait to that day? And then we have to understand that he's virgin born. Virgin born. You see, to become the holy, sinless God-man, Jesus had to be conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin. This was the only way he could what? Represent mankind and be the sinless Lamb of God, who was what? Qualified to pay for our sins and his death on the cross. Isn't that a blessing? So my question is this. Where is Jesus today? Where is he today? Right. But he's doing something that we tend to forget what he's doing. And this is why he has your back. This is why he allows us to live. This is why he fights our battles. This is why the enemy can't put us in a chokehold unless he allows it. It's this right here. Look at Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. So he's risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's praying for us. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's saying, Pastor, you can make it. Deacon, you can make it. Brother Marty, you can make it. We all can make it. Why? Because he's praying for us. That should motivate you to say, you know what? I can do this. I can do what he's called me to do. Oh God, help me witness to someone. Help me go pray for someone. Because you're praying for me that I can make it. Thank you, God. Jesus also, where is he? Abides in our hearts. You see, my friends, at the moment of salvation, his Spirit came to indwell and seal us until he comes back for us. Now we abide in him and he in us. Okay, that's what Romans 8:9 says. Look at this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the what?
Spirit.
Spirit. As believers. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And there's a lot of folks. They profess to be saved. And we can't judge them. God says, don't judge, lest you be judged. Right? The only thing we can see in someone's life without a judgmental is the fruit. Fruit. So what is the fruit? What Christians do. They pray. They love their word. They live sanctified. They have a new language now. They're not cussing no more. God's delivering them from drugs and alcohol. They don't want that world no more. That's the fruit. The fruit is God has transformed me. And so when you see that in someone's life, you can know now, I see the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, goodness, gentleness. No more, what up? What's going on? No more cursing, no more what? Are you mad dogging me, dude? Come on, there's none of that no more. God has repositioned our heart. And when you see that in a believer, you're not judging them, you're seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then when you get closer to them, you can feel the presence of God. When you get together with believers, you can feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. It's called the Koinonia Spirit. But unbelievers, they don't have that fruit. Unbelievers have cursing mouths. They have no time for God. Yeah, if you're going to come to church, they'll find ways to say no. And they'll tell you lies. Yeah, I'll be with you. I'll go. And they don't come. You know, I've learned to let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. If someone asks you something, yeah, sure. Then you better do that. Honor that. Honor that yes. And then be bold to say, no, I can't. And that's that. But don't put someone off. Yeah, man, I'll see you. I'll see you there, man. You don't even show up. Those folks, I'm sorry, you can't depend on them. So look at this. B Because he abides in our heart. At the moment of salvation, he came to indwell us. And now he abides in us. And then we just read this verse of scripture. But look at this now. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. What is this saying? This is saying this. If we happen to die before he comes back for us, and we've been to many, you know, celebration of life services, it happens. Bible says the same Spirit of God that rose Jesus from the dead is going to rise that person from the dead. No differently. Because God promised even those who passed away, the believers, that they're going to rise from the dead like he rose from the grave. I'm waiting for the greatest miracle. Yeah, that's a miracle watching someone that who died many years ago and then they're rising up in their new body. I think the greatest miracle is us who are still alive. Boom, we're transformed and we're like him. Last week when we had another gathering here, Brother Troy was here, and we had this conversation similar. And I said, you ever had a dream of flying? He goes, oh, Brother Fee, he goes, I just had a dream last night that I was flying. He goes, and I didn't want him to quit. I go, all the dreams that I've had flying, I don't want him to quit. And I wake up kind of disappointed because I get up, I jump out of bed and I can't fly. But yet I was flying in my dream. I was going everywhere. And I told him, I said, you know what? Could that be? Now this is Pastor Fee 101. This is not book, chapter, and verse. This is my opinion. I believe God could show you of what's to come through that dream. Because I've had many just like those. I've had them time and time again. He's had them many times too. That you're just flying. You could just walk and just take off and fly. And you're just flying. And then you can just land on your feet, walk, and then just go whenever you want. And you know what? Who's the one that did that? Who's the one that would appear and disappear? Who's the one that flew away? Jesus! When he rose again. Remember he appeared? He was in a room with all his disciples. No, all the disciples were in a room. The doors were closed. They heard that he rose again. And Thomas couldn't believe it. Then all of a sudden Jesus appeared there in the midst of them. And then when he went back to be with his father, they were on what? The Mount of Olives. And he started flying away in front of them. They were looking up and he was flying away. Well, the Bible says we're going to be just like him. We're getting a body just like his. He's the first prototype. So you should be excited to know what he has prepared for you, that because you love him. And he loves you. This is why, you know what? It gives me great hope. I don't care what happens in this life. I'm going to live this life here on earth the fullest that I can. But that's not what I'm living for. I'm living for to be with him soon and very soon because of what he has revealed to us. This was not revealed to us in our BC years. It was revealed to us after we got saved. And now that should bring the greatest joy and the hope to know what he has prepared for those who love him. Thank you, God. And so, what was Jesus' mission on earth? His mission was this. To reveal the Father. To reveal the Father. You know why? Because the Bible says that God is spirit. And so no one can see God because he's a spirit form. I'm talking God the Father. So Jesus had to come and says, when you see me, remember he said this many times, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Wow. Thank you, God. And where do I find that at? Right up here. Right up here. John 14:9. He who has seen me has seen what? The Father. You see, saints, because He was God, everything Jesus did and said revealed the Father's nature and all of His works. Praise God. And then He also came to do this. And only He can do it. He came to do this, to redeem mankind. You see, we're fallen beings. We're fallen creatures. So He had to come and redeem us back to the Father. And He could only do that by the blood. What could take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What could make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was the blood, the blood. This is why He had to shed His blood on that cross, so that we could be redeemed. Thank you, God. Now, everyone who believes, God gives them, and it's like a desire that comes. It comes out of nowhere. But it's a desire to repent and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then they become saved. This is why scaredy cat Peter. What did Peter do before he got saved? He denied what? Jesus three times. He even ran from a little girl. I saw you with Him. No, that wasn't me. Ran away. Scared. But when the Holy Ghost came, hallelujah, on the day of Pentecost, had fully come, they were there with all in one accord, one mind, and a rushing mighty wind came inside. 120 of them were in that room, men and women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that upper room. So she needed the Holy Ghost too. You got to remember, she was just the human that the Holy Spirit overshadowed, and she brought forth the God-man. But she still needed to be saved. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. She wasn't sinless. The Catholic Church puts her on a pedestal. I'm sorry. She's like one of us. She needed to be saved too. So that's why she went to that upper room. That's right. And then Peter came down. Why did Peter come down from the upper room and preach the gospel? Because there was millions down below that were celebrating one of the feast days. And it was the Feast of Pentecost. So on the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out. And this is what he preached. First sermon ever from this scaredy cat fisherman. Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. How many have you can honestly say that since you've been saved, you have that sense now that even my children are going to be saved? God puts that in you. He puts that promise there. Because it's a promise. It's a promise to His children. Went back to Arkansas and I saw my promise. I saw my grandchildren, my promise. Ben and Ella got filled with the Holy Spirit. And yes, and Joshua and Isaac, they're seeking right now. They're seeking. They want to be filled too. But Ben and Ella got filled. And God has them already, their life planned out. My grandson, I didn't know this until I got there. Through the University of Arkansas, he's in the Army as an officer. So the colleges, he's not going in as an enlisted guy. He's going in as an officer. I go, oh my gosh. And I said, oh man, I was just started crying. And then he came in, and he was dressed up in his fatigues. And he was just going, look, Papa Fee, look. I go, I see it, Ben. And I see God all over you, man. And you know what I loved about this kid? Because he's seen his mom and dad labor for them. She homeschooled them since they were born. As soon as he had the ability to be on his own, he got a room with his college kids, friends, and they got their own place now. Because he didn't want to burden her, you know, with another, you know, because he felt like, I'm a man now. I'm so thankful for that. Look at this. Also, to assure us of life after death. Listen, every one of us are going to have that moment of doubt. When we're coming to the end of our life, and maybe we're just breaths away from, and the breath will stop, and then we cease. There's going to be a moment of uncertainty, because none of us died yet. This is where you have to have the faith to believe that when your eyes finally shut, you'll be with him. Can I get an amen? And so we have, it's to assure us, he came to assure us that there is life after death. You see, when Christ overcame death and rose from the grave, saints of God, the issue of eternal life was settled once and for all. Without his resurrection, we'd have no hope in the life after his death. And no confidence that Jesus, what all that he has said was true. But because he rose again, because he flew to be with his Father, sitting at the right hand of God. 500 people witnessed his resurrection. 500, not just the disciples. He allowed many people to see him after the resurrection. That should let us know that when it's time for us to go, he will raise us up. Yes. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Paul wrote to the Corinthian church on this. Look at this. So we are always, say that with me, always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by, this is it, we walk by faith and not by sight. This walk we have as a believer is a faith, it's a walk of faith. You have to believe everything he said and not doubt it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And then he goes on to say, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. The moment we close our eyes, we're with him. Instantly, speed of thought, faster than the speed of light. Speed of thought is boom. Just imagine, if you travel the speed of light just to get to Paris, you still have, even if you go at speed of light, you're still like maybe 20 minutes from here to France, speed of light. Speed of thought is, I'm there. Close your eyes, I'm there. There's nothing faster. Look at this. It's the promise to promise us resurrection. To promise us resurrection. It's a promise that he's going to raise us up. How many of you have been to some blessed people that you've known to their life celebration services, celebration of life? And you miss them still. There's people that I know, I still miss them because I can't see them no more. But as a believer, I'm going to see them again. I will see them again. And that's the promise. That's the promise that was instilled in the Word of God. That's why Jesus came, to reassure us of that. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does that mean, fallen asleep? Those who had died already and are buried. He's the first fruits. Because they're going to rise again. And this is why, time and time again, many throughout the last 3 years, I always show this verse of scripture. Especially when I'm closing and trying to give someone that opportunity to receive Christ. But it's found in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Look at this. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Meaning, you and I, those of us that are here, we may not all have to go to the ground and go to the grave and be put in a coffin. But we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Those who died will be raised up without a corruptible body. It'll be a brand new, it'll be like his. Like the one that Jesus rose again. He's the first prototype. So we're going to have one like his. Look at this. And we shall be changed. Verse 53. For this corruptible. You got to look. Just touch yourself. Like this. We live in a corruptible body. It's corrupt. Praise God for soap and water. And showers. And showers. It's corruptible. It's corrupted. That's right. And if you're not a shower person, someone will know. Don't get close. Look at this. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, meaning this flesh is going to we're going to get a new body. That's not corruptible. It's going to be incorrupted. And this mortal has put on immortality, meaning our soul, our being. Right now, our soul and being is going to be immortal. Right now, it's mortal. When we die, lights out. Boom. We go in the ground. But we're going to put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus came to defeat what? Death, hell, and the grave. See, these are the things that we need to remind each other every day. I'm always thinking of these things every day. God, if this is my last day, guess what? I know this will happen for me. I know you'll be there for me. Praise God. Look at this. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. See, the law says we must die. The law says you are sinful. The law says you missed the mark. But thanks be to God who gives you and I, look at this, victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, say that with me, therefore, my beloved brethren, look at this, be steadfast. Well, steadfast meaning, you know what? I'm moving forward as a soldier in Christ. Be steadfast, immovable. Let nothing shake your faith. You know, people can say stuff to you and make you cut and run. Man, stay there. Say, oh. No, because no weapon shall form against you will prosper. And any negativity comes your way, it should slip off you like Teflon faith. Oh, just keep bringing it. Keep bringing it. Yeah. It just slips off. Because I know that's not me. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Praise God. Always be about our Father's business. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything that you do for the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. God wants to do mighty works through you, but you got to allow Him to do it. You got to spend that time with Him in prayer. And then you got to find time to go and witness and tell people about who He is. Can I get an amen? You see, because He came to give us abundant life. We're just not here just to exist. He came to give us abundant life while we're still here. You know what that abundant life is? Being filled with the power of God. Being filled with joy unspeakable. allowing God to prosper your mind, body, and soul, allowing God to use you mightily. That's what he wants. Look what I found in John 10:10. The thief, this is the devil, old Slewfoot. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But look what Jesus said. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. He just don't want you to have an ordinary life. He wants you to have an abundant life. With all the bells and whistles of heaven. Come on. Did you know that you could have only 10 cents in your pocket, but still wealthier than Paul Gates? Or whatever, Bill Gates? Do you know that you got more wealth than they do? Oh, come on. Oh, yes. I know I only got 10 cents, but you're more wealthier than Bill Gates. You know why? Because those rich folks that don't know God can't get to the third heaven. You have a straight shot there. God's going to give us all that. And so, you know, I look at all these people that have prospered on this planet that don't know God. I pray that one day they'll come to know Him. You know why? Because all that's going to burn up. All that's meaningless. Thank you, God. You see, all that we have in Christ is beyond our human understanding. He's given us His amazing promises. How many promises has He already fulfilled, and yet there's still more that you're asking God to fulfill? And He's continually working in us and through us. We just read, He's praying for us every day. So my question is this, who did Jesus say He was? One of the things that we see in the Word of God is this right up here. He's the Good Shepherd, the Bread of Life. He's the Vine. He is the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He is the Light of the World. Praise God. And He's the Door. He's the Door. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so look at this. What does Scripture say about His name, about Jesus' name? Let me just say this. One of the reasons why they took the name of Jesus out of the baptism, because there's power in His name. They replaced it. They replaced it. You see, before, the apostles, what was their creed? What was the creed of the apostles? Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, right? But 800 years ago, there was a council that took place, and guess what kicked all that out and implemented a new way? It was the Catholics. They brought in infant baptism, and they took out the name of Jesus, and they put the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Know where you find Jesus. Why did they remove Jesus? Because there's power in His name. There's deliverance in His name. There's forgiveness in His name. There's salvation in His name. But they removed it. Why? Because the power of God would go against that organization to destroy it. So they had to kick out Jesus. And now all it is humba to humba, Crisco to Bisco. That's all it is now. Jesus help us. His name is above every name. Jesus, the name is above every name. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. Oh, yes. I got some word to back that one up. It's found in Philippians. Paul wrote to the Philippian church. Look at this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, Not the Father, not the Son, not the Holy, but the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow of those in heaven and on those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody give God a shout. Come on, is he worthy? Oh yes, he's worthy. Man, there's power in the name. I feel the power of God right now. Woo! Man, Jesus. Man, when you get filled with the power of God, man, you ever seen that cartoon Up? I felt like I'm going up. Thank you, God. Saints, even the world's tyrants who have rejected Jesus and want to control everything will one day fall to their knees and be forced to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord. All of them will. Look at this. He is the only, look at that. His is the only name by which we can be saved. The only name. You can't get saved in titles. It's like this. Let's just say I owed you, Vince. Let's just say I owed you $50. So I wrote you a check. And I wrote, pay to the order of the son of Mr. America. That teller's going to say, I'm sorry. That's not going to work. You got to have the name, right? It has to say Vincent America. Now we know. Well, there's only one name. And I got scripture to back that up. I got scripture and I'll back it up. This is not Pastor Fee 101. This is Bible 101. It's right up here in Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved. And what is that name?
Jesus.
What is that name?
Jesus.
Oh, come on. What is that name?
Jesus.
Woo! That's the only saving name. Praise God. Thank you. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Man. Listen, when you got baptized in Jesus' name, he sealed you with the promise. Can I get an amen? The name of Jesus is upon you. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, God. Look at this. His name indicates his mission as deliverer. He is a deliverer. He came to deliver us from our sins. He came to destroy the bondage in our life. He came to set us free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He came to destroy the alcohol, the drugs, the pornography, all these things, all the vices of the devil that was thrown at us. We were deceived. And Jesus came. You know what? I'm just going to mow it down like you mow down a grass lawn. I'm going to mow it all down. And I'm going to start you all over again. Hallelujah. I'm going to teach you my ways now. Hallelujah. You're going to grow up, hallelujah, knowing who I am. In the name, even through your mistakes, even through your faults and failures, I'm still with you. Can I get an amen? I'm still going to raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I'm still going to provide for you. I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to, hallelujah, uphold you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He's still going to do all these things. He's still doing them now. Oh, come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Jesus, Jesus, oh, we love you, Jesus. He's our deliverer. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And that name was picked from heaven. Look what Matthew 1:21 says. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what?
Jesus.
For he will what? Save his people from their sins. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are that people. Now, I need you to catch this. I need you to catch that. That's Revelation up here. It says he shall save his people. Did it say all people? No, it said his people. Hallelujah. His people from their sins. Thank you. And we are his people. He cut our Moshia. Hallelujah. When he gave you the mind to be saved, when he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, when you were headed down to a place called hell, he came and interrupted your life. Hallelujah. He came and said, I'm pointing you this way now. Hey, I'm pointing you that way now. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. He came, hallelujah, to disrupt your life. Hallelujah. To even allow you to get uncomfortable. Hallelujah. Because he had a new plan for you. Thank you, God. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you what you've done. Woo, thank you, Lord. It's all in the name. It's all in his name. Woo, we have his name. Hallelujah, thank you, God. That's right. Don't look at your bank account. Don't look at what's happening at home. Don't look at the health, what the doctor said. Hallelujah. Just look on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God will have the best for you. Thank you, Lord. Just trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Ooh, thank you, God. Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God. Begotten. Look at this. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not what? But have what? Everlasting life. And that's what has happened to us. Thank you. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What I found, and we're coming in for a close, because I know someone wants to bite into them tamales now. Yeah, me. Okay, so I need us to understand this. There is none like Jesus. Say that with me. There is none. Hallelujah. There's none like Jesus. Why is there none like Jesus? Look at this right here. Number one, he never wrote a book. But he is the one subject of the greatest book ever written. He never wrote a book. He don't have certificates. He didn't go to college. And yet the world has written books all about him. And he never wrote a book. Look at this. He never wrote a song. Yet he is the subject of many. How many worship songs did we have? How many? The worship today was phenomenal, my brother. Phenomenal. And yet, he didn't write one of them. Hallelujah. But through the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon men and women, they wrote the songs of him. They wrote all about him. Hallelujah. And now we sing unto him. Hallelujah. Look at this. He never owned a home. But he prepared one for us. Hey! Come on. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I will come for you. In my house are many mansions. Woo! Rancho Santa Fe ain't got nothing on what he made for us. Come on, that $40 million home has nothing. You still have to treat that thing for termites. You still got to fix the plumbing in them homes. Oh, that's right. You still have to paint it. But not the place that Jesus made. Hallelujah. Look at this. He never traveled more than 100 miles from home, yet the entire world is in his presence. all. What? He never traveled more than 100 miles. Jesus. Thank you. Come on, thank you. Hey. The prophet this morning said we would get some revelation this morning. Hey. Shakarabasa. Hikarabasia. Thank you. Look at this. He didn't have a medical license, but he's known as the great physician. Come on. Come on with this. Come on with this. Hey. Come on. You go, oh, that's right. Come on. Hey, Shikaraba. Sharabo Kotoraba. Hey, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Sharabo Kotorobo Sia. Thank you, God. Thank you. Look at this. Look at this one. He never marshaled an army, but he could bring down every kind of kingdom imaginable. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. He can do it all by himself. He don't need nobody. He don't even need the angels. He's just going to speak it. Hallelujah. And they'll fall. Look at this. Herod could not kill him. Herod could not kill him. Look at this. Satan could not seduce him. Remember when he went to the wilderness? Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Turn these rocks into bread. Oh, come on. Bow down to me and I'll give you everything. You got to watch out. Don't let people. Don't let Satan dupe you. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Death couldn't destroy him. And lastly, the tomb could not keep him. Come on. He busted out of that tomb. On the third day, he rose again. Hallelujah. Hey, we got proof. Because when we went to the garden tomb, there's a sign that says, he's not here. He is risen. Thank you. Hallelujah. So next time you go through, hallelujah, just remember this right here, that he is, the names of God is this. He's the King of Kings. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lord of Lords. He's a great high priest. He's the morning star. He's the Prince of Peace. He is wonderful. Counselor, Emmanuel, Word of God. He is the Prophet, Alpha and Omega. Come on, give God a shout. Thank you. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm going to leave this up there for a while. Let that get in your spirit. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, God. Jesus. Oh, we serve Almighty God. We serve a marvelous God. Thank you, God. You know, somebody's probably watching right now, which they do. Praise God. And we want to give you that opportunity. Amen? Listen, we're here shouting. You probably hear us praying in tongues. We're doing all crazy things. You know why? Because he's a radical God who radically transformed us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And now we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to us Gentiles. Hallelujah. And I'm so blessed to be a son of God. Aren't you guys so blessed to be a son and daughter of God? Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And you know who was really precious to him? Were the women. The women were precious. They sat at his feet. They came to his burial. They were the first ones to come to the tomb. He has a special place for you, sisters. Just know that. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Here's a question for us. I forgot to give us a question here. Why is Jesus worthy of your faith, devotion, and worship? Why? Why is Jesus worthy of your faith? All you have to look to, for me, I look back at one thing. He saved me from a place called hell. I was living in hell. I was living in a place of torment. And he came to save me. He came to save you. And lastly, how can you focus on him this Christmas instead of being distracted by all the activities, preparations, and expectations of the season? I know we get distracted. I know we go to school plays, we go this with our children, we get it. Oh, I forgot this gift, I gotta go get that. Oh, I gotta go spend time with grandma for a little bit. I get that. We all get that. We all have things to do. Can I get an amen? But this message this morning is, don't forget him. Don't forget him. He wants our affection. He wants us to remember what he's done for us and what he's still going to do for us. He's going to give us everything he promised us. Because that's who he is. His nature. The Bible says that because he's not a man that could lie, and he is God. And God's going to fulfill all the promises. Amen. So I go back to you that's watching. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. That God would give you also a place in eternity with him. And then we get to see you. We'll get to know who you are. You'll get to know us. That's how it works. But first you must go through him. You must go through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to give you that opportunity right now. And I want you to pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. So pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Give him a shout of praise in the house. He is so worthy. So worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.